decisions? Well, the ethical decision-making process kind of revolves around two different styles of thinking. And the one style of thinking we call in ethics deontology, which comes from the Greek word deontos, which means duty. And that's basically a principled way of thinking. In other words, how can we set up our principles for human conduct just by thinking about them? And so you have principles like do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, or do not kill, or do not steal, or love everybody. Whatever principle you want to come up with, the deontological way of thinking says, okay, once you have that principle set up, then you try to live according to that principle to the best of your ability. So then the question, of course, becomes what principles are important and how do we arrive at those principles? The other side to the equation is what we call the consequentialist or utilitarian tradition. And that tradition says that those values can in no way be done in an a priori fashion. You can't just sit back and think your way through it. You have to calculate what your values are and how your principles are going to operate by the consequences that come about from those particular actions that you're considering. So if I want to do strip mining, for instance, the deontologist would say, what principle can I come up with where I could universalize that it's either ethically all right to strip mine or it's ethically condemned that I should be strip mining? And then the consequentialist would say, well, what kind of consequences come about from that? And if you can calculate those consequences, then you can make your decision in a much more rational fashion, a much more pragmatic fashion as well. Again, for myself, I think both traditions they have strong points to them, but they're both weak in certain areas. I think the criticism of the deontological position is well placed, that you can't begin with principles unless you begin with the principles that you have already been inculcated in. That you could start there and do kind of a cultural examination like ecofeminism does. But you can't begin a priori like somebody like Immanuel Kant tries to do and says, okay, whatever we're going to do, we're going to universalize it. We're going to make it so that everybody can engage in this particular activity. Well, that doesn't really get us into the nuts and bolts of what ethics is all about, the nitty-gritty when we have to make concrete decisions. You can't always universalize what you're going to do, and you certainly can't think about it all in advance. The consequentialists have the problem, I think, of calculating exactly what consequences, exactly when, exactly who's going to be affected. There are a multitude of questions that utilitarians can't answer, and they can only answer in increments and bits and pieces. And so you don't get a full position when you're trying to answer in consequentialist fashion, what should I do? Should I strip mine or should I not strip mine? You can certainly predict to a certain degree of accuracy what the consequences are going to be, but you can never do it definitively. And so the consequentialist has that kind of weakness to it that the deontologist capitalize off of and say, well, you can't operate that way because you're operating by consequences you could never know. And then the deontologist, of course, say, well, you're operating according to a principle that you would be obligated to maintain no matter what the consequences come to be. So, for instance, if I make the universal principle, don't lie, but then I'm faced with lying to save a human life, well, the deontologist has to say, don't lie. You can't lie. It's always wrong. But the consequentialist would say, if I save a life and I lie, then it's okay by weighting the values out. So those are the two general ideas. Again, I try to go in the middle. I try to operate according to kind of a prima facie mode of valuing, where certain values we take as givens in our culture. And we can trump those values when we find that there are vital interests that are involved. Now, how you define those values depends upon the individual and depends upon the situation. But I try to take the strengths of utilitarian thinking and the strengths of deontology and put them together and try to examine things from a point of view of saying, okay, well, let's just assume the value system that we have is the correct one. Now, can we ask some questions about that and how do we operate accordingly with that? So how do we operate in terms of strip mining? How do we operate in terms of giving a tree a dignity, an ethical dignity? Well, we ask the questions, okay, we assume the dignity of these particular entities. Now, what happens if we want to violate that dignity? And what allows us to justify doing that? And in my mind, given the situation of the Earth today, with global warming and overpopulation and the Earth being stressed by pollutants and that, I think that the idea of keeping a vital role to humanity in terms of doing what they want with nature is an important thing to take a look at. In other words, keep the presumption of the inherent dignity of everything around you and only violate that dignity when it becomes absolutely necessary to do so. But what that absolute necessity means, I can't say. It really is too gray an issue to come to a definitive answer.